Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28, you should recall from the end of chapter 27 that when Rebekah was concerned that Esau was wanting to kill Jacob, she decided she needed to send him away, send Jacob away. And so at the end of chapter 27, she says to Jacob, verse 43, "Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother's no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose you both in one day?" Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I'm disgusted with living with these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living." So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him and commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Padan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself from there, from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien, the land God gave to Abraham." Then Isaac sent Jacob on his way, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, who was the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Esau learned that Isaac had blessed Jacob and had sent him to Padan Aram to take a wife from there, and that when he blessed him, he commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite woman," and that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and had gone to Padan Aram. Esau then realized how displeasing the Canaanite women were to his father Isaac. So he went to Ishmael and married Mahalath, the sister of Nebaioth, and daughter of Ishmael, son of Abraham, in addition to the wives he already had. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I don't know how you feel about these people. I mean, we're getting to know them. And I'm finding it hard to like them a lot. But I'll tell you another thing about that. One reason that they make me uncomfortable is because I see myself in them. Some of the stuff that bothers us most about other people tends to be that which, when we're honest, bothers us most about ourselves. We realize, that's me. Looking at this passage, all the scheming and conniving on the part of Rebecca in order to try and accomplish her goals. Can anybody relate to that? Anybody here sometimes manipulative and thinking, well, if I just come right out and say this, they might not go along with it, but if I approach it this way, then they'll buy in. That's just how most of us, at least a lot of the time, tend to approach relationships. It's not healthy. It's not healthy, but it's what's going on. She said to Isaac, "I'm the one who put Jacob up to deceiving you. Now his brother wants to kill him, and I think it's best that he leave town for a while." Is that what she said? No. She said, "I'm disgusted with living. I want to die because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living." And so Isaac is like, well, okay. And he calls for Jacob, and he blessed him. He blessed him despite the fact that he knew Jacob had deceived him, lied to him. He blessed him and commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Paddan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel, and take a wife for yourself from there, from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien, the land God gave to Abraham." Then Isaac sent Jacob on his way, and he went to Paddan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, who was the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now, Esau learned about this exchange, and he realized, wow, Mom and Dad really don't like my wives. I better get another. Just a tip. You've heard this before. It's certainly not original with me. If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Okay? There is no indication that Esau really dramatically improved the household climate by bringing in another wife. But that was what he decided to do. He went to Ishmael and married Mahalath, sister of Nebaioth and daughter of Ishmael, son of Abraham, in addition to the wives he already had. Jacob, meanwhile, has left Beersheba, sent out for Haran, and when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. It's reasonable. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. And so he's sleeping on the ground with his head on a rock, and he has a dream. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And there above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. And I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. That is absolutely amazing. And it wasn't just a dream. It was a dream from God. God appeared to him in a dream, spoke to him in this dream, and made absolutely amazing promises. God promised to do for him what his father, Isaac, had prayed would happen for him, that he would indeed be the heir of the promise. And God says, I will do this. Jacob wakes up and thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He had stopped for the night because the sun had set. There wasn't a sign saying, stay here, great rates, okay? He's sleeping on the ground because he ran out of daylight. And now he realizes God is in this place. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. I want you to look back up in verse 15. God had told him in that dream, I'm with you and will watch over you wherever you go. There was a mindset in the peoples of that age, and it's still around today, that there was a God of this place, and a God of this place, and a God of this place, and a God of this place. And so there was an understanding on the part of those who knew God that he's everywhere. But there was still a temptation to think of God as being especially here. Now, God does manifest his presence in a special way in certain places of his choosing. So I don't want you to think that nothing is holy, nothing is set apart. God never says, I'm choosing this place where I will manifest my glory. God does do that. But from Genesis through Revelation, God makes it clear that he leads his people on a journey through this world in which we encounter him all along the way and find out, if I descend into the depths, you are there. If I go up into the heights, you are there. I can't get away from your presence. God isn't just some places. He is everywhere. Now, if you're trying to run from God, that's a scary thought. But if you're trying to run to God, you need to recognize he's with you. When we know him, the one who truly is God, then we recognize that, yes, certain places have significance, but our God is everywhere, and he rules over all. If you get in a spaceship and you go to Mars, will God still be back on Earth? Of course. So we'll be up there in a God-forsaken planet? No, God on Mars. He beat Elon Musk to Mars. Okay? The universe is his creation, and he holds it together by the word of his power.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, God says, wherever you go, I'm going to be with you. Jacob, awaking, realizes this place is special. And so he does something. Early in the morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and he set it up as a pillar and poured some oil on top of it, and he called that place Bethel, which means the house of God. This is the house of God. That's what Bethel means. And Jacob made a vow to the God who is God. And he said, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house. God had already said he was going to bring him back. Then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Now, Pastor Brian shared some wonderful study of this passage and comparing it to other passages in an email with me, and just encouraging me to look at these points, and I think he made a lot of excellent points. That as he reads this, he sees Jacob as basically being offered something mind-blowing by God that Jacob did not feel worthy of. And that's why he says, look, I'll just be happy if you do this for me. And Pastor Brian may be exactly right that that is where Jacob's coming from. I've always tended to see Jacob a little more harshly. And the reason is because we all bring something of our own story to the passage. Okay? Pastor Brian reads this and he looks back to when God had amazing mercy on him, despite the fact that he had known better and done wrong as a young man. And in repentance, he said, God, I don't know why you would want me, but if you do, I'm yours. That's beautiful. Great testimony. I'm sure he'll share it with you sometime. It's a beautiful, powerful testimony. It's true. But I kind of take a different view of this because I see myself in this story too. And the me that I see is not a me that I like. It's a me who, despite God's promises, still wants to try and make a deal. Because I find it hard to trust his promise and just rest in the fact that God's word is true, he's going to do what he said, and I don't have anything to worry about. Instead, I want to say, okay, God, if you'll do this for me, and this for me, and this for me, and this for me, then we'll be close. Then I'll trust you. Then you'll be my God. And then I'll even, because you're my God, I'll give you the full tenth of everything I've got. And of all that you give me, notice he does say, that you give me. He knows where it all comes from. I hope you know that. Everything you have comes from God. Every breath you take, every bit of artistic or musical talent or athletic ability, everything you've got comes from God and belongs to God. And the reason why Scripture encouraged folks, commanded folks, to give God a tenth was not because the tenth is what God owns. It's because everything is what God owns, and by giving a tenth, we are reminded of that. Understand? Now, I see myself in this passage, and I don't like it. But I want you to see, if we look at ourselves in the passage and stop there, we're missing the point. We need to look at God. We need to look at the amazing grace of a God who would save Jacob. God will describe himself in the Scriptures again and again as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why would you choose Jacob? God chose him before he was born. Paul makes much of this in the book of Romans when he says, while they were still in the womb, before they'd done anything, good or bad, God said, Jacob is my choice. This is a true statement and worthy of all acceptance. Christ came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul adds, of whom I am chief. If you think that God's going to love you if you do this, 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 then he'll love you. You haven't really believed the gospel. Christ came into the world to save sinners. He doesn't love you if you're good. He loves you. Jesus said to the rich young ruler who thought he was good, there's no one good except God. God's the only good one. The rest of us have all blown it. Every one of us. All of us like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. It's the only way we could be saved. And God provided it. And he provided it for you so that you could be forgiven and changed from the inside out. And so I implore you, recognize not just your own failures in this story, but recognize that the God who owns everything, to whom we should approach not saying, if you do this, if you do this, we should approach God every day with a blank check, just saying, God, I'm yours. Whatever you want to do with me today, I'm yours. Have your way. Have your way. If you will do that, you will discover that this ladder to heaven with angels ascending and descending is a picture of Jesus. Jesus who provided the real gate to heaven, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Trust him. He loves you. He loves you. Don't be afraid.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.